Hey everybody, welcome to a special episode of This Week on Channel 9.
What's so special about it, Scott?
That we're your hosts.
All right.
So I'm your special host, Scott Klein, and with me is my extra special host,
Robert Green.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. We are filling in for
Vlad and Nikola,
who are apparently out on vacation.
They used to be in the same team as you. Apparently, you don't remember their names.
Yeah, I don't remember their names. Anyway, so we've got a number of items to talk to you about today. Robert, why don't you kick it off with learning from Windows?
All right. First up is the Windows community. So there is a website, the Windows community site, community.windows.com, where you can learn about Windows and Windows 10 from the folks that make it. So on this site, you'll hear from engineers. There's videos. There's tips and tricks. There's links to the Facebook page and the YouTube channel. So if you're using Windows 10 and you want to learn all about it, this is a great place to go. And no matter how long you've been using it, there's always new stuff to learn. And it's kind of cool to hear from the people that make it, trying to get a little understanding of what went into some of the thinkings behind some of the features, as well as how the features
just
work.
Kind of a Windows Unplugged type of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Extra,
yeah.
What can I do with
exactly.
it? Okay.
Yeah.
Very
yep.
cool. It's about yep. time. All right, next up.
And speaking of Windows, Windows Template Studio 1.2 is released. Now, Windows Template Studio has been out for a while, a lot of downloads. It's a project template add-in for Visual Studio that makes it dramatically easier to build UWP applications. So they say that things that used to take 4 hours can take no more than 30 seconds. So if you're building a UWP app, this would be a great place to start because it basically provides a huge amount of the plumbing for you that you'd have to do yourself or learn how to do yourself. 1.2 is just released. Enhancements are the ability to right-click and add projects to existing, right-click and add new features to existing projects. They've done a lot of work on localization, some accessibility, updated it to include the latest version of the UWP Community Toolkit, which provides a bunch of controls. So great stuff for people building Windows applications.
Awesome. Love it.
It is awesome.
Very good. All right. And next up, Nougat. I think that's yours
Nougat.
As well.
So there has been a refresh to Nougat.org, making it much easier to search for Nougat packages.
Yep.
The interesting thing about this is I use Nougat packages all the time, but I just do it from inside Visual Studio most of the time.
So do I.
And I'm used to searching from in there. But not everybody uses Visual Studio. Nougat packages, I know. Nougat packages
I'm
can
shocked.
Be used from other places, like Visual Studio Code, for example.
Yep.
Being able to go to the Nougat site and have a better experience searching for things is an excellent thing.
Yeah, I think you and I are like maybe most people. I don't know. I'm maybe out on a limb here.
Most people are not like me. I can guarantee that.
Okay. Maybe they're more like me. Well, like you said earlier, right? If I'm searching for a Nougat package, I'm in Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Right? So it makes sense. Rarely am I actually on Nougat.org, but I think I love the fact that they're like, hey, if you're actually just searching for a Nougat package.
Yeah,
and you don't have Visual Studio.
Easier to go to the website than to do it from inside Visual Studio.
Yeah, love that.
It's a good option.
Yep. Okay. Next topic, open source. So unless you've had your head in the sand for the last, couple years?
At least,
you know that Microsoft has been big on open source,
yes.
Right? Providing a lot of our stuff out to the community so you can contribute and supporting open source, the open source community, right?
Yep.
Just wanted to make aware that this is still very important to Microsoft. So you have things like Visual Studio Code is now kind of open source. You can contribute to that.
.NET's
open source. Yep. And if you think about it, if you look at a lot of the open source non-Microsoft, a lot of Microsoft engineering teams are contributing to even non-Microsoft open source projects, right?
It'd be nice if there was a single place you could go to see all the things we're doing in open source. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome.
If there was, we should talk about it on this show. Does such a thing exist?
Well, Robert, actually it does, right? If you go to
opensource.microsoft.com.
Yep.
Yes.
Print's kind of small. But yes, if you actually go to opensource.microsoft.com, out there is every project that Microsoft project that we have open sourced.
And links to it. Cool.
Right? And that you some of that you might actually be able to contribute to, like Visual Studio Code.
It is open source after all.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Now, next topic, PowerShell. Now, PowerShell, I got to be honest, I have not been, nor am I, but I'm trying to get there, a PowerShell guy, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, as the move to Azure has sort of pushed this, I think in my opinion, has pushed Microsoft into supporting more of a PowerShell type of for automation and things like that. Well, PowerShell 6.0 is on the horizon. There's a roadmap for that. And for that, there are going to be two editions of PowerShell, Windows PowerShell and PowerShell Core, right? What Microsoft is actually asking here is that to try out Windows PowerShell Core and provide feedback on that. Like, what works? What doesn't work? How can we make it better? How can we improve on that? A lot of it's actually out on GitHub. So if you want to start playing around with PowerShell Core, you can find it out on, just go to GitHub. We just talked about GitHub. Go to GitHub and search for the PowerShell Core, 6.0 Core, and start playing with it.
Cool.
Yep. Very cool. The more I use it, PowerShell is kind of interesting. The more it can be kind of cumbersome, right? And kind of a hill to get over from a learning perspective. But I think, you know, I think the more you use it, the more I'm starting to like it. I'm not quite a huge champ yet, but I think
you know, many people feel the same way about something like Azure. You know, it's complicated. There's a lot to learn. There's a hill you got to get over.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be nice, you know, if there were a number of places that you could go learn about this?
Right.
And I just want to toss out one of the latest in places that you can go learn about Azure if you're new to it, and that's our good friend Jesse Liberty.
Yep.
Who's doing a bunch of videos for LinkedIn Learning, and then he started a blog series called Azure for Developers.
Right.
So part one is scratching the surface, and Jesse usually does a very good job of taking complex subjects and talking about them at a very accessible level. I know he's done these types of series for Xamarin.
Yeah.
Now he's done one for Azure. So definitely something to go look at if you are new to Azure and trying to get your head around it.
Yep. Love that. Our community actually does a great job, I think, in putting stuff out there and make it easy for other people to learn.
Exactly.
They do really good. All right, next topic, Visual Studio Code community builds. Someone actually took the community build of Visual Studio Code and made it run on a Raspberry Pi and Chromebooks, right? Now, being an IoT guy, I thought,
that's cool.
And a data guy, this is awesome, right? So when I read this, I'm like, I am doing that right now. So I didn't have time to finish.
That's another great example, an illustration of why you might make something open source. Right?
Yes.
Because somebody has it as a feature request. They ask the Visual Studio Code team that might say, oh, well, that'd be a nice idea, but you know, we don't really have time for that.
Yep.
But since it's open source, you do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
And then you make it available to others.
Yeah, then you get the credit. And
yeah,
that's
cool.
A great step to becoming maybe an MVP or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's a good point, right? But I think this is I read this and I'm like, oh, I'm going to try that right now. I ran out of time, but you know, imagine taking a Raspberry Pi and, because it's a small computer, mm-hmm. running Visual Studio Code on that and doing coding on your Raspberry Pi. Oh my goodness, very awesome. All right, and next up, I have not played with HoloLens, except for maybe just a couple minutes, did a little game.
Mm-hmm.
But our friends they're actually three Microsoft guys in India, wrote a book called HoloLens Blueprints.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a few minutes comparing that book to a couple other books out on Amazon.com that do HoloLens. Most of the book out there on HoloLens aren't published yet. This one's been out for about a month, and there's another one that's been out for a month. And I looked at their chapter, and I like this book. If I was new to HoloLens, I got to be honest, I don't know if I'd go to this book first, right? This is more solution-based, and there's other books out there.
That's what I love about this book. It's very practical. It focuses on the solutions, not so much the coding and the mechanics, but what do you actually do with it? What types of apps can you build with HoloLens?
Right.
It's at a higher level, but it appears to be the next step. When you get out in the real world and you're actually going to build things, what are the types of things you can build?
And I love the very first chapter goes into what's the difference between mixed reality and artificial intelligence and augmented reality and things like that. But then it gets into, you know, kind of some of the solutions. And so if you're new to HoloLens, don't know if I'd do this book first, but I love this book, like you pointed out. I love this book in that it spends a lot of time going, hey, how do we do, maybe, you know, how do we use HoloLens from a retail perspective or a manufacturer, or, you know, different scenarios. So it's, I would highly recommend this book. That's why we have it listed here. Mm-hmm. But if you're new to HoloLens, maybe look at another book first.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. So if you're doing web development, then you know about JavaScript bundlers, right? You build a website, you've got a bunch of JavaScript files. Rather than have them come down one at a time, you bundle them to make it easier to download.
Yep.
Right? It's a pretty standard thing. And one of the more popular bundlers is called Webpack.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out that people, you know how to use it, but they really apparently want to get a better sense of how it works under the covers.
Yep.
And so Sean Larkin, one of the guys who maintains it, who actually has now joined Microsoft, has created the Webpack Academy, which is a series of videos that teach you how the thing works under the covers and behind the scenes so you get a better understanding of what it does, and therefore you can make better use of it and build more efficient bundling in your web apps.
Yep.
So that's a cool thing. So if you're using Webpack and you want to get deep diving on it, the Webpack Academy is the place to go.
Awesome. All right, and next up. So it's really interesting. If you, I don't know, you and I are kind of we're in Building 9. Those buildings they're known as the X-wing fighter buildings. And I know I've walked around, going, where's this conference room?
Yeah.
Where's this other room? And a lot of times we'll be walking around and we'll see someone standing in the hall just reading the signs going.
Never read the signs. They always send you the wrong
they
way.
They always send you the wrong way. They mean well, but you know, if you're going to some of these older buildings, you know, you leave plenty of time in advance to find your way around.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, a lot of people have been joking around going, oh, you know, you have a little GPS on your phone to get you from, you know, point A to point B, you know, out on the road.
What happens when you go indoors? The GPS stops working.
Wouldn't it be awesome to go, I got to get to this building, this conference room. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with this building. How do I get there? Mm-hmm. Right? And we've been joking about that, you know, ever since we've been in that building for quite a few years. The folks at Microsoft Research actually built a new approach to indoor navigation.
Ooh.
Right? How do I actually navigate indoors? Right, and that it's not just for Microsoft. Let's make that clear. Like, if I'm at a mall or am I meeting some friends, and mm-hmm. I want to go, hey, where's this cafe inside this mall? Take me right there. Right.
Cool.
So they've been actually, which is awesome because now you can get very granular into the navigation. Right. I guess the GPS has been.
You know where
that
would
much
be
better.
Awesome. Home Depot.
Sure. I need a hammer.
Right. I need a hammer. Where are the hammers?
Where are the
hammers? Oh, if you find someone that knows, they'll say, oh, aisle 27 on the right.
I need
That's
this
cool.
green paint.
But wouldn't it be nice if you had an app that would say, oh, you're standing right now here.
Yep.
Go down this aisle, take a right, go up this aisle, take a left. There are the hammers.
Yes.
That would be cool.
I need a 2x12. Well, it's on the other side of the store,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So actually, that's kind of cool. I thought, when I looked at this, I'm like, that's kind of crazy. But then I thought about all the experiences that we've had with it, actually in some of these buildings. And then you think about, you know, exactly, Home Depot or even the grocery store. Where are the Pop-Tarts? Doggone it.
Oh, who doesn't know that? Where's the healthy food?
That's right.
I don't know.
That's a good point. So anyway, kind of fun. All right, next topic. How do we introduce this one?
I've been thinking for over a day now on what types of jokes and pithy things to say, and not a single one of them is appropriate for a family-friendly show on Channel 9.
Moving on.
So
insert your own joke here.
Yes.
We'll just say, look, they built this security robot. And it decided to, it didn't want to
apparently it could have benefited from indoor navigation. I did it! There we go!
Yay.
That one's appropriate.
On the spot. Thank you very much.
This is why the Microsoft Research folks are now working on this project to save the poor security robots.
That's right. It stress got to it. Anyway, moving on. All right. Is this mine?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I like this. Microsoft unveils a beautiful Cortana-powered thermostat. This is awesome because now I can just walk in the house and go, too doggone hot, Cortana, make it cooler, right? And it'll lower the temperature. It's also kind of intelligent, so it'll help me understand, you know, kind of a history of the temperatures in my house, But if you think about, you know, the abilities that Cortana provides, mm-hmm. right? I can be very Cortana. What's the temperature? What time is it? Can you set the temperature to whatever degree,
and it'll do that presumably, for me. Ultimately, it would understand if you're at work and you're going to be home, you're leaving an hour earlier than usual.
Yeah.
Presumably, you'd be able to talk to Cortana on your
phone,
work machine, or your phone, and say, "Hey, I'm going to be home. Set." I'm leaving work now. Cortana then knows to turn the thermostat up or down, whatever it is.
So I don't have to be in my house.
Later,
I can say, and actually, Cortana knows if we're smart, if it, you know, we set it up right. I don't even have to talk to it. It already knows I'm on my way home,
sure.
and it automatically do that for me. So
that's pretty cool.
That's kind of cool. Alrighty. All right. Picks of the week. Picks of the week.
I know this one smacks of shameless self-promotion.
That's right.
But my pick of the week is a series that I'm doing on Visual Studio Toolbox. My good friend Phil Japixi was in town, so we spent 2 days in the studio, and we did a series of episodes on design patterns and best practices.
Yeah.
And we started with an episode on test-driven development, and we kind of used that as the springboard for a 8-part series on various design patterns.
Right.
Command and manifesto and strategy and template method, and then we do a really good job of explaining what the patterns are, why you would use them. Design patterns are basically code that you can use to solve existing problems. So it's a best practice, you know, best way to get better at coding, you know, master the language constructs, etc. But then learn best practices like testing and patterns. And we had done an episode a while back where we kind of did a bunch all in an hour or so, and we got some comments, you should expand upon this, so we've done that.
Okay.
We are now three out of the 8 design patterns episodes have been posted, and that's my pick of the week.
Awesome, love it. All right, my pick of the week, my pick of the week is being a data guy. Earlier this week, I can't remember, I think it was Monday earlier this week, announced the first release candidate of SQL Server 2017.
Woo-hoo.
Huge milestone. You'll see on the link. I would highly recommend going to the blog because it has been blogged about. But there is a whole slew of new features just included in RC1. I'll also do a shameless self-promotion. Got a number of videos on the Data Expo show that talk about having like high availability between Windows and Linux using SQL Server 2017, but I would highly recommend if you're into if you have a kind of a mixed environment of Windows and Linux and you're running SQL Server, maybe definitely download SQL Server 2017 RC1 and give it a try, and take a minute to read the blog because it lists at least I think there's a half a dozen new features in just RC1.
Cool.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, very good time, very fascinating and interesting time here at. In the SQL Server space.
All right.
Cool. Right.
We did it.
All right. We might be careful. They might ask us to do it again.
I'm always available.
I'm always available.
Yep.
All righty. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time. Vlad and Nicola can't do it. All right. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
Bye.